Good morning. My name is Michael Keenan. Oh, please remain standing. My wife and I are fellowships representatives for Refuge and Refugee Ministry within the city. And today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are as but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad in all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of our Lord God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Good morning, live streamers. Glad you're here with us. Virtually, glad that you are here with us physically, folks. My name is Todd Pella, one of the pastors here at the church. I was not with the church last Sunday. I was in Lynchburg, Virginia with my wife's family, doing all of the things, all of the Christmas traditions, from square dancing to euchre. Anybody play euchre? I lost. We love traditions in our family. If you know us, or you maybe heard this before, but my grandfather, he used to take a piece of string and tie it to the tree, and then the grandkids, we'd follow that string to a special gift. I'd like to continue that tradition. We did that this year, and I was really excited for this gift. Sometimes you get gifts for your kids, but they're really for yourself. You ever, maybe, no? Just me? We bought them this Papa Shot machine, this basketball game with the two basketball hoops and the electronic scoreboard, right? You keep your shot. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to, family times, and then I'm going to dominate. And they're going to see how awesome of a shooter I am. I'm in third place in our family. I did not win. Last night we had a tournament, and I think Grant won. Avery came in second. I was beat by two of my kids last night in Papa Shop. So, love you guys. Thankful to be in the Word today. Glad to be back with you. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, 2022. Has anybody written it out yet, like the number? Did anybody make a mistake yet, like still writing 2021? Has anybody had to apologize yet in the new year? I have. Okay, good. We got a few apologies. All right. All of life is repentance. Amen. So yeah, 2022. I'm not much of a goal guy. I don't know about you. If you guys like to make, I like goals. I like goals, but I don't like failing at the goals. I don't like putting something on paper and not being able to follow through. How many of us signed up for a Bible reading plan last year? Anybody do that, Bible reading plan? Okay. And how many of you actually finished that on time? Oh my goodness, that's amazing. I did not. I always start one and it takes me about 2 years to get through the plan, but that's okay because I'm heading in the right direction, right? But it's a good time. The very first Sunday of the year to reflect and to journal, in your quiet time with the Lord, to reflect. God, where are you leading me this year? Where are you inviting me to resolve to make some changes? And so as a church today, I thought it would be appropriate and fitting to do that. God, where are you asking us on this brink of a new year to resolve to be different, to resolve to be discipled and shaped? How would you want us to move forward? And I was just thinking about this. We're being shaped by all kinds of different things, right? We're shaped by the context in which we live. And news outlets, for example, they urge you to be shaped by political hot takes. Social media urges you to be shaped by influencers and eye-catching articles. Peloton executives, they urge you to be shaped by a bike, right? Your legs get stronger, literally shaped by a bike. But I, your pastor, one of your pastors, I'm here to urge you to be shaped by God's word. Let's be shaped by God's word. Will you turn with me, if you're not already there, to Psalm 90? We want to admire God's word together this morning in the time that I have. And this is a song of lament from Moses. It's the one psalm that the editor of the Psalms put in the Psalms from Moses. Interesting, right? Moses has a few other songs, but they're in other books in the Pentateuch. Here we have a song from Moses, and it begins with an invocation in verses 1 and 2. Do you see that there? Moses says, verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Lord, you've been our dwelling place. So when we were going through Exodus, okay, a little bit of background. I don't know if you remember this, but this was a pretty key theme in the book of Exodus. God gives his name, his personal divine name, and the way English translators put that into English, they capitalize it, L-O-R-D. You guys remember that? It meant Yahweh, God's personal name, powerful, promise keeper, self-existent, amazing. This is, if you notice, this is not capitalized. It's not. It's capital L, but then lowercase O-R-D. And that's just meant to signify this idea of master, this governor of the world, Adonai, Lord. And he says, Lord, Master, Adonai, I'm your servant. You have been our dwelling place. Dwelling place. God as dwelling place. Maybe your Bible might say something like refuge. Dwelling place. Security. There's safety in being found in God. Before we met God, I was just thinking about this. What are some things that we typically find safety in? We want to dwell in. We want to find security and comfort. Maybe relationships, power, authority, money, possessions. You know, the question you ask is like, where am I going to feel safe? Like, what makes me feel safe? This relationship with this person, enough money in my bank account. Pleasure, getting stronger, losing weight, approval from peers, all these things. If I'm honest with myself, there's still temptations of mine to find comfort and safety in, right? God is the true dwelling place. He is the true safety, the true security. And we know that while we may be tempted to find security and safety and dwelling in other places, It's a good practice for a Christian, for a church, to rid themselves of all the traces of these false securities and say, God, you alone are our dwelling place. God, help us abide in you. We find peace, we find safety, we find hope, meaning, and purpose in you and you alone. Amen? So we don't only see God as our dwelling place now, but Moses says, in all generations. This implies that there is a constant, unchanging situation. Moses' generation experienced God as this safe refuge, this dwelling place. The generation after him, every generation after that, up until us, and our generation as well, we have the opportunity to see God as our dwelling place. I don't know what you're going through today. I do know what some of you are going through. Some of us have either lost someone very dear to us recently, or are losing someone dear to us currently. God is a dwelling place for you. It's a place of safety, a place of security, a place of refuge. Some of us are experiencing some kind of profound loss in our lives, where we maybe there's a relationship or a dream that that's just not panning out the way we wanted it to. God's a refuge for you. He's your dwelling place. The Lord is our dwelling place. Let's run to him. Let's hide in him. And let's just admit that every other place that we might call a dwelling place, they're a lousy substitute for God. The invocation continues in verse 2. You see it there. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before the mountains were brought forth. Some translations say before the mountains were born. This idea of mountains being born is kind of a fun, creative image that Moses uses. Which of us were there to see the mountains born? Right? I wasn't. Some of you, anybody? No? Okay, I didn't think so. None of us were there. God was there. God not only was there when the mountains were born, he was the one who created them. He formed the earth and the world. God is from everlasting to everlasting, and God, our dwelling place, is the creator and will not change. He won't change. Moses pivots in verses 3 through 11 to the complaint section of his lament. He says this in verse 3, "You return man to dust and say, 'Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?" The section is heavy. It's deep. It's not the most encouraging passage of Scripture. God is this dwelling place from everlasting to everlasting. Man is not. Man is not. You are not. I am not. Man comes from dust and returns to dust. This is a clear reference to Genesis 3 and the curse of sin upon us. Man, we may live 70 or 80 years, this text says. God's not so. God looks at 1,000 years and it's like yesterday to him. God considers 1,000 years and it's like a dream. Moses says, it's like yesterday. It's like a grass that comes up and it's gone the next day. Moses here, he reflects on the sinfulness of the people. Our sins have caused our years to be marked by toil and trouble, like he says in verse 10. Our sins have brought us just wrath and death, were it not for grace. God's years continue on and on, but our years, they do not. Our years, in verse 10, are, quote, soon gone. So here it is, Fellowship Church. My point is, soon enough, you and I, we are all going to die. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. What is Moses doing here? What is his point in reminding us that we're going to die soon? Our years are limited. Years are filled with toil and trouble. He's doing something, and I think it's beautiful, actually, what he's doing. Sometimes, you see, you've got to face some ugly, hard truths to see the glorious opportunity on the other side. Let's look at verse 12. Verse 12 says this, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." This is a prayer of lament. He's lamenting about the brevity of life, and he says, God, will you teach me? Will you teach me to know how short life is? Will you help me number my days? Our days are numbered. Your days, my days. 2021, for example, is gone. We don't get to do that year over again. We don't get those days back. 2022 is here, but not forever. And Moses says, God, will you teach me to learn about the brevity of life? Why? What's so important about learning about the brevity of life? Well, according to Moses here in God's inspired word, if we understand that life is brief, we get something. What does it say we get in verse 12? That we may get a heart of wisdom. That we may get a heart of wisdom. I want to be wise. I don't just want to know the right thing. I want to walk in God's ways. I want to be like the tree in Proverbs that's planted by streams of water that bears fruit. And Moses says, you want a heart of wisdom? Do you want to be a wise man, a wise woman of God? Fine. Acknowledge that your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. If you know me very well, you'll know that I really like golf. Yeah, there's a fist pump back there. Yeah, okay. Cody, you like golf too? Yeah. So this story is about a golfer, arguably the most successful golfer on the planet. His name is? Not Tiger Woods. No, Jack Nicklaus. Yes, Jack Nicklaus. Okay, this is a great man, a great golfer. And he's such a good golfer that he won the Masters tournament, which is just like hands down the best golf tournament ever. He won it 6 different times. It's incredible. He's won all kinds of majors, the most, like I said, most successful golfer. But he's older now. And he doesn't compete professionally anymore. But he does still play, and one of the times we get to see him swing a club now as fans of the sport is at the beginning of the Masters Golf Tournament. Every year there's an honorary start to the tournament, okay? Before all the real competitors tee off, they have famous golfers from the past tee off, just hit a shot. And I like this. This is a really kind of special, you know, if you're into the Masters, like this is a really kind of cool thing to watch. Well, in 2014, okay, so not too long ago, in 2014, they had 3 starters to honorary ceremony kick this thing off with a tee shot. It was Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, who's no longer with us, and Gary Player. Okay, 3 really famous, awesome guys who just have got all kinds of legacy and victories in the game. And it's just interesting, you know, watching these men who aren't professionally playing the sport anymore, they get up and it's very clear that they're not competing professionally anymore. They're they're older. And Jack in 2014, you know, he's kind of, you know, if you're a golfer, you don't just like get up and hit the ball. You kind of get into it, you practice a little bit, you get the waggle. I don't know if you guys know about that, but he's getting ready to hit his shot. And he says to the audience, there's just hundreds of people around the first tee at Augusta National. He says, "Oh, if only I could do this again for real." And everybody kind of chuckled, you know, because it made a lot of sense. It resonated with the crowd. And the reality in that moment that Jack was expressing is that whatever he was going to do in golf, he had already done it by that moment. It was too late for him to do anything else in the sport professionally. This idea gets at numbering our days. Our days are numbered. There are some things in our lives that we don't get to redo. There's all kinds of application for this. I look personally at my five children, and I just wonder how many more days do I get with them in my home to parent them and disciple them in this season? I mean, there's a limited amount of time with my kids. I look at you, some of you out there are older than me. The younger generations are looking to you and they're wondering, how are you going to live out your numbered days, knowing that they are limited? I think about the children and the students that are out here and out in Fellowship Kids, and you know, maybe you're in college or you're a young adult. It may feel like you've just got all the time in the world. Got all the time in the world. I don't need to work on this or this. I'll handle that later. All of our days are numbered. And we will be tomorrow, I hope this makes sense, we will be tomorrow what we are becoming today. Does that make sense? We don't just wake up like a finished product, like by accident. The wise person knows that his or her days are numbered, and they start becoming today what they want to be tomorrow. And so Moses here, he's doing his very best to focus the people of God in a direction to make the most of every day, make the most of every year, because our years are few. And then Moses does one of the very best things you can do with numbered days. He prays. He prays. Verse 13, he says, "Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants." So we don't know exactly what trials Moses was going through or the people were facing, but Moses asked God to return, like, come back. And he says these two words, really interesting. How long? How long? Show mercy, have pity on your servants. This may be a moment in Israel's history where you know, God delivered Moses from Egypt and the people of God from Egypt, but that generation, they weren't allowed to enter into the land. And Moses may be saying in that moment, how long? How long are we going to be waiting here? How many of us need to beg God by saying, return, O Lord? How long? Church, let's bring our burdens and our truest thoughts and our deepest hurts to God in prayer. Verse 14, his prayer continues, and he says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Moses asked God for satisfaction. Let's find, God, help me find my satisfaction in your unfailing, steadfast, faithful love. I want to rejoice and be glad all of my days, though they are limited. Verse 15, the prayer continues, "Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil." Isn't that interesting? Make us glad for, we've been miserable for a long time. God, will you make us as happy for as many days as we were afflicted? I think here we have biblical warrant to ask God to make 2022 as good as 2020 and 2021 were bad. God, you know how hard it's been. Will you bring me gladness? Will you bring me peace? Will you bring us satisfaction? Verse 16, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. God, you've demonstrated your great works and your mighty deeds in the past. Will you show us that work today? This is a good godly prayer to pray today. Let your work be shown and known to us. And God, are the children of Fellowship Church and the children of Louisville, Kentucky and the nations, will you show your glorious power to them? And finally, verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. God, in other words, God, we ask that you'd be kind towards us, that you'd be favorable. We don't deserve it. I don't know if you've noticed the theme of grace throughout this chapter, throughout this psalm. We don't deserve it. Will you be favorable towards us? Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. And as God, as we seek to build godly homes, and as we seek to be faithful in the workplace, and we seek to be faithful with the roles and responsibilities you've given us, and we be faithful to build a healthy church, will you strengthen our hands for the task? Church, our days are numbered, but we have a God who listens, and it's a good thing for a church to pray to God as we acknowledge the brevity of our life, and to ask him to move. And so that's what we're going to do for the remaining time that I have for this sermon. I've invited a few gospel community group leaders to join me on stage, and we're just going to spend some time as a church praying. All right, Kyle, Lee, and Matt, I believe. Yeah, come on up. And we can use this microphone right up here. And there are ways that this text invites us to pray to God. And I've just asked each one of them to pray through a theme of this text in light of kind of where we are as a church family today. Do you mind starting us off? All right.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word in Psalm 90. I specifically ask, God, that you would make 2022 the year where we love our neighbor well. We praise you, God, as the one who sees. God, you see all things. In general, you see things very specific. You see all things, Father. We praise you, and we confess, God, that we don't always see things. God, we're so often not observant. We are so often self-indulgent, self-reliant, self-centered, God, and we confess and we ask for your forgiveness and pray, God, that you would focus us this year on to look outward. I pray just of thanksgiving, Lord, we thank you that you have welcomed us as your children. I thank you that you have called us into your family. And God, we specifically ask that in this year that we would look outward and that we might be good neighbors. God, I pray that you would help our church, God. You have put us in a specific place with a specific sphere of influence among the people that we live closest to, God. That's not by accident. That is your plan, God. You've ordained all things, and you have ordained our address. I pray, Lord, that you would make each person here, each family, I ask that you would make us people with eyes, Lord, to see as you see, to be intentional, to seek out those that are closest to us, Lord. Help us just be good neighbors, Lord, whatever that means. If that means introducing ourselves to our neighbor, may that be the first step. But if it means inviting them for a meal, God, may that be true. If it means being a servant to mow the grass or get their mail or whatever, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be servants, to be lights in the places that you have called us. God, that we might be people who win the right to share the good news of Jesus with our neighbor. That's not by accident, God. It is intentional. Please help us be people of intention this year, and help us to be hospitable the way that you've been hospitable to us in Christ. So I ask, Lord, that you would make us those people, God. Change us, mold us the way that you would, in the image of your Son, and help us to take your word forth this year, God. Help it to be on purpose. Pray these things in Jesus' name.
Father, this morning we are grateful for your word and the challenge from generations ago, from Moses, to count our days. And God, from that we ask for wisdom. Wisdom as parents who are leading future generations, as a church who is discipling future generations. God, we pray for wisdom in that. For these children that you have put us over to steward and to care for their souls and their lives. God, we ask for wisdom in that. And all the decisions that go daily into caring for them, as we model and share the gospel with these little non-believers. God, that you would give us knowledge and wisdom to share. God, give us the humility to model what it looks like to follow the gospel and to ask for forgiveness from our kids, to show them what grace truly looks like from a loving Father. God, as we've seen your word, our days are numbered. But our days are even shorter with these kids under our roofs. And God, that we would acknowledge that and see that, how short our time is, and make it count, Lord. As we point them to you and show them your Son, God, we ask for wisdom again in the decisions we make through our through education and for health of our kids. God, we can throw our hands up at times and say we just don't know. And God, we ask for you to give us wisdom, Lord. We love our kids. God, I pray for Garrett and our children's ministry as he helps us as parents to lead our kids and to care for our kids. And God, you would just bless that ministry. God, and for the parents in this room, God, I just pray a blessing and your favor on them as we disciple our kids and point them to you and your goodness and who you are. Help us this year to focus on that, Lord, and to see that before we cast them out like arrows into the world. Father, we love you. We are grateful for our families and the growth that we've seen in them here at Fellowship. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus.
Father, as we recognize that we are but dust that have received the breath of eternal life that has given us a life eternal. Lord, I pray that as we look around us and see neighbors and our kids and others, Lord, that we would see how the many people are destined for damnation. And Lord, that would lead us to offer to them the same gift that we have received. And Lord, I pray that we would see not only our homes and our neighborhoods, but that we would see how giant and massive the world is. And that we would see, Lord, that there are entire countries who just a fraction, less than a percent, just a small number of people even have heard your name. And Lord, that we would be people who send boldly missionaries from this church and from the churches of our world. But also, Lord, that we would be open, with hands wide open, to hear your call to go ourselves. And Lord, we have in our church those who have said yes, who have heard your call to go in one of the hardest ways possible and have gone. The shoemakers, Joe and Scott and Bailey, Lord, I pray that those who have already gone, that we would hold the rope well and that we would pray for them as a church, that we would love them well, that we would encourage them. Even seeing on the app this morning, ways in which we can see and remember and care for them from so far away. And Lord, as opportunities come for trips to go and to actually visit with them and to be with them, Lord, that we would love them well in that way as well. But Lord, that each and every day as we remember and fight just to reach the person right next door to us, that we would remember that there are people that are our neighbors still on the other side of the world who have not yet heard your name, and that you would move in their hearts too. Use the missionaries of our church. Use our prayers, Father, and raise up more and more people to go that your name might resound in the hearts of every person, that every knee would confess that you are Lord. We love you, Father. Amen.